Thank you, and thank you for reading all those difficult names there, whatever. I'm not sure anybody fully knows how some of them are pronounced, but we think you did an excellent job. The first president that I worked under at the Moody Bible Institute, Dr. George Sweeting, he had a saying, seldom resist a generous impulse. And I think that's what comes to mind when I see Paul closing out this letter in these first 16 verses of chapter 16. And we learn lessons about relating to others in the body of Christ. Talk about relating to others, and then we're talking about learning to recognize good that God is doing in and through people's lives. But first, relating to others. There are several key commands, and his first command is to commend. I commend to you, he says there in verse 1, to commend people. To commend, actually, from this word, to stand with them. Sometimes a good word you talk about spread out for somebody opens doors for them. The opposite can hinder. Now, God can overcome those hindrances, but commending people, whenever you can do that with genuineness, do that. And then he talks about receiving in the Lord, Phoebe's who he's talking about, who probably was the bearer of the epistle. Receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. When Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, I think there was something that he never forgot. When he was arrested by that word, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Of course, he was persecuting God's people. But that was sort of the seed thought that he would develop more than any other New Testament writer, that what Christ is bound up spiritually in the life of his people. He's united to them. So the way you treat others is the way you treat Christ. So receive her in a manner worthy of the saints, worthy of a saint, one whom Christ has set apart, in whom Christ indwells. Receive them, stand with them, commending, but also receive them in a manner worthy of the saints. And then he says, and what help her is the next word he gives in verse 2. Help her. Help her. That's really the word stand by her. Help her in any way she needs help. And Paul's very last letter, he will write later there in 2 Timothy. He'll say, at my last defense, everybody deserted me, but the Lord stood with me. Same Greek word here, stood with me. Now he asked us to what? Many times God works through people. Now there, God's not bound by that. If everyone was to forsake you, God can still be sufficient, just as he was to Jesus in Gethsemane. He chose his three closest friends to go with him. They all let him down. They slept when they should be praying, but the Lord still prepared him. But he says, help her in any way she may need help. Stand with her. You know, this is an interesting verse. We'll stay right there in Matthew 16, but our Lord tells us this. Obviously, God gives different gifts to different people, and those gifts open up opportunities for different ministries. So we all don't have the same gifts, but we all have the same potential of being rewarded for all the gifts. And how you do that is what he says in Matthew chapter 10, in verses 40 to 42. He says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. But then in verse 41 and 42 of Matthew 10, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man reward. Whoever in the name of a disciple gives one of these even a little cup of cold water to drink, surely he will not lose your reward. See, any little help you give, maybe, you know, okay, this person has a gift you don't have, but in some small way you assist that person, you help that person, you receive the same gift they have. So he's saying, help, help, in any way she needs help. And then the, obviously the next word you see is greet. Greet. However, whatever you think about the Apostle Paul, sometimes you superficially look at him as sort of as a taskmaster and he's a driven man or whatever, but he had an incredible capacity for relationships. Greet. Some 26 names you see in these, and then a couple that are unnamed. Most of them we know very little about. Priscilla and Aquila would be the most well-known. But it shows that what this book of Romans was not just for the professional theologian. It was for all of God's people. The greetings that he gives. He greets Priscilla and Aquila there. I'll just draw attention to a few of them. In verse 10, the household of that Aristippus, that was the grandson of Herod the Great. And evidently, in his household, there were some of his servants, evidently, were believers. He mentions the name in verse 11, the Narcissus, who are in the Lord. That was a common name, but the most well-known person with that name was a secretary of the Emperor Claudius, who amassed a fortune because people would bribe and give bribes to him to make sure their correspondence got to Claudius. Well, when Claudius was murdered and succeeded by Nero, then Narcissus committed suicide. But evidently in his household there were believers, and obviously that household would have been passed on to Nero. So in seemingly unlikely places, God is at work. I'll never forget, this was a number of years ago, but it was, I know where it was 2001. I was visiting the Washington, D.C. area doing a retreat for a church in Northern Virginia. And the dear pastor who was riding me around and showing me various things, he told me this: there are more Bible studies in Washington, D.C. than any other city. Now, I know what you say, we need more there, but anyhow, in unlikely places, God is at work, and I think we need to cry out to God, especially in the dark time in which we live, that God would be at work. Here, in the another passage in Philippians, it talks about the saints in Caesar's household. So Rufus is greeted in verse 14 there. Now Rufus 13, I should say, verse 13. He was the son, we know this from Mark 15:21. He was the son, one of the sons, there are two sons named there, of Simon who carried the cross for Jesus there to the crucifixion. And evidently in Rome his sons were known. I'll allude to the mother that's mentioned in a little bit later there. But so he says commend, he says help, he says greet, he says receive them worthy of saints, and he also says give thanks there. He says that in verse 4, who risked their life, to whom not only do I give thanks, but all the churches. That's the only time in the New Testament that giving thanks, the object is a human. Most time it's to give thanks to the Lord, who is the author of every good perfect gift. But here, give thanks. I'll talk about that in just a moment here in regard to giving thanks. But after he tells us how to relate in regard to commending and helping and standing with one, you see him complimenting and recognizing others. Complimenting and recognizing others. Thus the title of the message, Seldom Resist a Generous Impulse. He recognizes these believers as family members, he says in verse 2, a sister in the Lord. He recognizes that they're what they do, a servant, he says in verse 1. He calls them a saint, ones whom God has set apart. He says in verse 2, she's a helper of many. In verse 3, he calls them a fellow workers. Fellow workers. Now, that Priscilla and Aquila, we know more about them. Mentioned some six times in the New Testament. Here they're in Rome. They had been driven from Rome to Corinth, then back to Ephesus, and then from Ephesus back to Rome, where they are here. Then we know from the Paul's last letter, they are driven back to Ephesus, so they had traveled many times not of their own volition, but because of things they had to, but they were fellow workers. Obviously, Paul had a similar skill, a tent-making skill, but also they were fellow workers in the gospel as well, we know. It says they risked their lives for me, verse 4. And they had a house church in their home. They had a house church, it says. And Paul gave thanks as well as what the other servants gave thanks for them as well. In verse 6, he talked about, he recognizes hard work, just which was done earlier, of all the hard work that's done in this fellowship. They worked hard, verse 6. He talked about those who were fellow prisoners. Paul, he says, he was imprisoned often. He uses the word often in 2 Corinthians 11. Clement of Rome, one of the church fathers, says he was imprisoned 7 times. And he talks about these individuals who said who were outstanding among the apostles. Doesn't necessarily mean they were an apostle, but they were noteworthy among the apostles. He uses the word beloved in verse 8 and 9. In verse 7, he recognizes those that had known the Lord longer than him. Well, in verse 7, actually, it says, they were in Christ before me. So he recognizes what? They're older in the faith than I am. And so he recognizes that. Beloved, once again, uses fellow workers as he used in verse 3, uses that in verse 9 and 12. Verse 10, he says, these people are proved. They're tried and they're found to be genuine. He calls Rufus a choice man in the Lord. And he said, not only says greet her, but greet his mother, whom he says also is my mother. Now we know it's not his literal mother, but you know, it's a fulfillment of what our Lord taught in Mark 10, verse 29 and 30. He says, if any one of you have left, Mark 10, 29, house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my name's sake, he'll receive 100 times as much in the present age, houses and brothers, sisters and mothers. And so this was part of the promise that that God gave Paul. His family did abandon him because of what? His embracing the Christian faith from his Judaism background. But this one, what? He experienced that mothering role. I remember one of my students comes from a hard background, a hard family. In every way, both his mother and his father. But He says, you know, I love basketball. And so he would play basketball with these group of men. And some of them were believers. And he said, one of them asked him to come to his church to play basketball. So they played basketball. But then he went to the church one time. He said, now he also struggled a number of ways, in a sense, with drugs and things. And he said, when he was around the church, he said, I never saw many people this happy that weren't on drugs. He says, what's wrong? and literally, that was the family that ultimately embraced him. Now, he's the youth pastor at that church. But just that, by this being, and that was obviously part of the promise, his mother and father, great challenges there that don't know the Lord still, but what? He has been embraced by that church and by that church family. Well, seldom resist a generous impulse. You know, a little assignment that I have given many, many people and found great help myself, all ages of people, from young children to older adults, but a Thanksgiving assignment, and many times I give this out around Thanksgiving, but it's obviously applicable any time of year, and it's not real complicated, but it's worth repeatedly doing. And that is, what you do, you just take out a sheet of paper, you write down the members of your family. and that's not very effort. Everybody can do that. And then you just write down by one, what is one thing you're particularly grateful for that member of your family? And then you trust the Lord just to give some opportunity to express that in a conversation, a note, a phone call. And then expand that list to other people, the church family, or friends, or neighbors, or even more acquaintances, like the mechanic you use, or the hairdresser, or the barber. And what are things that you appreciate about that person? Many times, they may not even know the Lord, you know. But gratitude is a wonderful, wonderful witness. And it's a mark of God's, when one of the fruits of God's Spirit controlling one is gratitude. And as you write down those expanded lists, take time as God leads you to share that appreciation, whatever you think would be an appropriate way. Also, I would encourage you to meditate. Just take a day, you meditate on the simple verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And I remember a person telling me they did that, and they were brushing their teeth, and they said, "Lord, I've never thanked you for my toothbrush." Kept brushing their teeth. "Lord, I've never thanked you for my teeth." It's God's Spirit that can enable us to see Him as the author of every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. And also give us a gratitude for things that we've taken for granted all our life. So, I think I told you one time, I,